Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. There are so many stories that are alarming. I will begin at the top of my website because they're all there. Supreme Court has rejected the death penalty for raping children. That's right. You good liberals are in favor of child rape. The liberal majority in the so-called Supreme Court, the psychopaths in black robes led by Kennedy, followed by the ACLU attorney, Ginsburg, the strange man who cruises parks in the Washington area, Souter, and a few others, have said that it violates the constitutional ban on cruel and unusual punishment to offer the death penalty for raping children. This is what liberalism has wrought. Answer why? Or shall I say why? Answer, liberalism is a mental disorder. Now you can add a little carrot in that and say liberalism is a sick mental disorder. Second article in the proof of this thesis is the story beneath it. Nancy Pelosi wants talk radio unplugged, seeks only left-wing nuts on air. She said she's in strong support for the revival of the Fairness Doctrine. Now, why would the richest woman in Congress want conservative critics of her behavior, and the behavior, by the way, of Republicans as well, throttled? Why would she want it muted? Why would she want talk radio throttled, muted, closed down? Answer, because she's got a lot to hide, in my opinion. Next story, top right, and it follows up from yesterday. I'm asking you on a poll, was it suicide or assassination? Because what astonishes me is that we have an Israeli Watergate here. We have an Israeli Watergate on the Savage Nation website, and it's not being covered by Fox. It's not being covered by CNN. It's not being covered by ABC, CBS, NBC. It's not being covered by MSNBC. It is not being covered at all. How is it possible that the media will not cover one of the major stories of this cycle of news? It's amazing to me. Now, what is the story I'm talking about? It's a story I covered for 3 hours yesterday, three big hours, with some of the best callers of my entire radio career. Former Special Forces people from Israel called with their opinions. American Special Forces people called, FBI people called, and they gave us their opinion on, was it suicide at the airport at Ben-Gurion Airport, or was it an attempted assassination? And was the Druze Israeli policeman or officer who was found dead, was he shot dead because he was trying to assassinate Sarkozy, Olmert? Or in fact, did he come upon a group trying to do such a horrendous act and get killed and is really a hero? Now, whether or not you think it's suicide, as the media is feeding you, which is implausible, and I told you it was implausible, and of course, only a few people have picked up on this. One story out of Lebanon agrees with me, and there's no conversation about this. I am of the opinion that the American American citizen has become so hypnotized, so narcotized, so completely destroyed by the political process that the government could get away with murder itself, as they are doing, by the way, on a daily basis, and the people would not only not care and not know, they would probably say, who cares, it doesn't affect me. This is exactly how the Holocaust occurred in Germany in the 1940s. Once the population is gulled into submission, in the case of Germany, it was gulled into submission by fear. In the case of America, this population has been gulled into submission as a result of numerous factors, drugs, legal and illegal, rampant pornography, radiating throughout the entire American psyche, rampant lies by the government media complex, and a compliant Republican Party. There is no two-party system. There are no voices of opposition. It is one chorus screwing the American people. Now, we are in a very, very dangerous place in this country, not solely because of this story, but the story is a symptom of the danger we are in. Here are some of the other stories to show you the danger we are in. The homosexual radical left has gone to the California Supreme Court in an attempt to block a vote of the people on a ballot initiative that's coming up in November. Now, I want to ask you something, left, right, center. Do you favor the ballot initiative process? Because it was brought forth by activists in the 1970s who said that we need a direct democracy. We need direct democracy in the state of California. Other states have followed, where every several years we have real democracy in these states. Not when we vote for a candidate, because those are rigged and they're more or less the same on both sides of the aisle. But when you have a ballot initiative, whatever the issue may be, the people themselves are heard from, no matter what the topic is. That's called direct democracy. Well, take a guess who's trying to destroy direct democracy. The homosexual radicals. I have warned you. I've told you. I've implored with you. I've begged you to understand that when fascism came back to America, it would not necessarily be behind an oompa-pa band, and the men marching would not necessarily be wearing Nazi armbands. You don't understand that the radical left today are the fascists of our time. Okay? Here are some other stories on michaelsavage.com, and I'm reading them off my website because, frankly, I took all day to put them up here. There's a homicide epidemic in San Francisco. It is spreading. A father and two of his sons were executed for no reason in the streets the other day. And here is my headline. Homicide epidemic in San Francisco spreads. Mayor mocks marriage, hopes to be governor. Parenthesis, Nero only fiddled while Rome burned. Newsom diddles while SF churns. Beneath that, we have another story from our wonderful friends in Saudi Arabia, who are virtually in a class by themselves when it comes to being demented. A Saudi marriage official says one-year-old brides are okay because the prophet said it was okay, and he did the same thing himself. I'm not making this up. Finally, the mask is off radical Islam. Finally, the mask is off your dear friends in Saudi Arabia, the men who were seen walking with George Bush holding him by a pinky. Saudi marriage officiant Dr. Ahmad Al-Mubi told Lebanese television viewers last week that is permissible for girls as young as 1 year of age to marry as long as sex is postponed. Abu Mubi's remarkable comments also included an explanation that, quote, there is no minimal age for entering marriage, close quote. He said, you can have a marriage contract even with a one-year-old girl, not to mention a girl of 9, 7, or 8, he said. But is the girl ready for sex or not? What is the appropriate age for sex for the first time? This varies according to environment and tradition, Al Mubi said. Now, on that article, you can click on to the original interview with Lebanese television on michaelsavage.com, and you're not going to believe what you hear. I'll read it, the headline. Dr. Ahmad Al-Mubi, a Saudi marriage official, said it is allowed to marry a girl at the age of 1. If sex is postponed, period, the Prophet Muhammad, comma, whose model we follow, comma, married Aisha when she was 6, and had sex with her when she was 9. Now, I must pause and say they were not even a member of the offshoot of the Mormon Church. They were not a member of the polygamy cult. They were not living in Texas at the time. This is what we're importing into America. This kind of insanity is being imported into America. Shall I go down on the website and tell you what else made it to the best news page today on the web? Yeah, I will. I'll go down a little bit more. Here's another little story for you. Well, that's sad. I won't read it to you yet. I'll save that one. Here's one that isn't sad. States are asking for citizenship proof from welfare recipients, and the liberals are screaming bloody murder. How dare you ask for citizenship? They're entitled to come out and knock out babies like Tasty Bread. They're entitled to have 12 children and collect welfare. Converts from Islam to Christianity on trial. Of course, that's in Algeria, a wonderful retrograde nation. A man who no longer wants to get on his knees and lift his butt in the air, but instead wants to go into a church and praise God, is now on trial in Algeria because he no longer wants to get on his knees and lift his butt in the air. 1-800-449-8255 phone number. Any topic is fair game. Whatever you want to talk about. We'll go back to the topic because apparently you're brain dead. Supreme Court rejects death penalty for raping children. The libs on the court said it's okay to rape children. It would be cruel and unusual to execute a man who raped a girl. Pelosi wants to throttle talk radio because we criticize her and the Republicans. Do you think that I'm going to let her get away with it? Do you think that if the fairness doctrine so-called passed the House or the Senate, I would go down without a fight? You're out of your minds. Because I have a plan. I have a strategy, not a dream. And I could win in a court. I'm positive I could win. And believe me when I tell you, bring it on. Bring it on, Madam Pelosi, because I can guarantee you, you'll have a lawsuit that will go all the way to the Supreme Court and I will win. And you will go down in infamy as the witch of San Francisco who tried to kill free speech. So bring it on, you phony liberal, you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Tis the season to be jolly. God, I can't wait for Christmas. I don't know about you. I don't like the summer. I love the winter. I read that caribou move north as it gets hot. They move further north. They don't like the heat either. Maybe I'm a reincarnated caribou, but or something to that effect. Supreme Court rejects death penalty for raping children. Okay. And a Saudi cleric says that it's okay to marry a girl as young as one. Isn't multiculturalism great? That is really good. So that means that if Saudis move here and marry a one-year-old and have sex with them, and they're found guilty here in America, the libs on the Supreme Court would say, it's cruel and unusual to give that man a death penalty. Isn't it wonderful? Multiculturalism sure brings out the truth. Moishi in San Francisco, go ahead, please.
Hi. I wanted to just mention that it also has it in the Old Testament about Abraham marrying Sarah at three.
Yeah, show me where.
It has it in the beginning of the Bible.
Okay, which Bible, what chapter and verse? Because right now it sounds to me like you're making it up out of whole cloth. I have the Bible in front of my hand. Is it in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Samuel 1, Samuel 2, Kings 1, Kings 2, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel? Is it in Hosea? Where is it? What's the matter? Cat got your tongue?
I think it's in Shmot.
I think you know what it's in? I think it's in your schmuck. Why do you call with such trash like this? Why do you call with such stupidity like this? Aren't you ashamed of yourself?
I think it's in Shmot.
I think that you're the biggest schmuck I ever heard of in my life, and I think I know who you are. I'm ashamed of you. You putz, you. Young marriage is okay in the Bible. To a one-year-old, Abraham married a one-year-old, he says no. Tell you what, if you can find that, I'll burn my Bible. If you could find that Abraham said it's okay to marry and have sex with a girl 1 year old, anywhere in the Bible that I hold, I'll take my Bible and I'll burn it. How's that? Then I'll have no longer any use for it. Does that work for you? Houston, Texas. Brian, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike.
Go ahead. Brian, go ahead, please.
Yes, I think that you're onto something, because the fact is that the Druze people believe in reincarnation. There's no way that guy would have committed suicide.
I said that yesterday over and over again. I'm a cultural anthropologist by training. Of course I understand that. Well, why is the media covering up this story? Answer, because it's the Israeli Watergate. That's why.
Exactly. They don't want anything black on the face of the leaders over there, because they're dancing to the tune of the United States.
There you go. That's at least what I think at this point. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Any topic is fair game. Supreme Court rejects death penalty for raping children, and you don't care. Pelosi wants only left-wing radical socialist radio and doesn't understand that it's illegal for her to try to pull that one off, that the times they are a-changing, and there'll be millions of people demanding a Supreme Court hearing of this case. There's so many different ways to attack the left wing on this that I'm not going to give out my strategy at this time, but I can guarantee you that even if the so-called fairness doctrine passed, I would sue them and I would win. There's no way that I couldn't win on this. Or you might see me on the nightly news on NBC or ABC or CBS, because what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And in this case, what's good for the conservatives will be good for the goose steppers on the left. They want a fairness doctrine. They want to impose liberal views on a conservative talk show? Hey, that's not a bad idea. I'll tell you what, I'll trade you, Nancy. You give me 5 minutes a night on the ABC Nightly News. How about 5 minutes on the Today Show every morning to give the conservative viewpoint? And I'm talking about me, Michael Savage. I'm not talking about a factotum phony Republican. I'm talking about you want to take away minutes from me? You're going to give me minutes back on a radical left-wing television show. Does that work for you? It just might work for the American people. New York, Gary, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, pleasure. Just wanted to reiterate what you said about the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does Abraham have sex with a small young child, and nowhere in the Bible does it condone having sex with small children.
No, that was a trickster who never should have gotten through the call screen, or they should have known better, but I don't care. I have the Bible in my hand. Nowhere does Abraham marry a girl, and nowhere does Abraham condone having sex with children, as does the Islamic religion, according to this cleric.
Absolutely, but I wanted to call just to agree with what you had stated, and that the caller was being a fake, sir.
Yeah, the caller was being a piece of stale matzah with a pair of pants on him. 1-800-449-8255. Vince, Kansas City, different topic. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I wanted to get your viewpoint on the emergence of mixed martial arts, commonly known as cage fighting, in the United States. And it seems like listening to your show, a lot of your opinions, you're one that is not afraid to give your opinion. And how would you view the emergence of this sport kind of developing in young men and women, the courage to...
I've long supported it. In fact, my son's energy drink company has sponsored cage fighting for years. He was way ahead of the curve. I've been at many cage fights in Las Vegas and other places with some of the fighters that my son has sponsored. It's a pretty brutal sport, but nobody's forcing the men in the ring. It's not the Roman arena where people are forced to fight to the death. These are men who love to fight. These are men who are as tough as nails. Most of them come away bloodied when they lose, but they don't come away injured. And so, therefore, I'm 100% for it. Anything that increases testosterone in the American male, I am for. Does that work for you?
I like that. Sounds good.
Yes, and this is the cage fighting of talk radio, the Savage Nation. That's what this show really is like. This show is very much like that. The other shows are like wrestling matches. This show is not a wrestling match. This show is more like a cage fight. Because if you disagree with me, you're welcome to enter the cage. But I'm going to tell you right now, no holds are barred, not by me nor by you. And so you're welcome to call 1-800-449-8255. If you believe that child rapists should not be getting a death penalty, give me a call. Show me what your liberal credentials are really made of, you sick thing, you.
Savage.
Extra, extra, hear all about it. Court rejects death penalty for raping children. Libs on court, liberals on court, psychopathic liberals on court say that executing child rapists would violate the ban on cruel and unusual punishment. I'll take your calls on this and other topics right here on the Savage Nation. Vincent, New York, go ahead, please. You're up on the Savage Nation. Your opinion counts. What is it?
Michael, one, it's a pleasure to speak to. Look, Michael, I am by no means a liberal, and I am for capital punishment in Murder One cases of espionage, treason, and cases of terrorism. My problem is with having a death penalty for a non-murderous case, except for treason. But for non-murderous cases, in my opinion, what I should say is...
Justice Kennedy said this. He said the death penalty is not a proportional punishment for the rape of a child. So would raping the perpetrator be a proportional punishment? Would taking the male rapist and putting him in the exercise yard of a violent prison and permitting a gang to gang rape him, would that be a proportional punishment, or is no punishment proportional?
No, putting him in the courtyard would be an absolute great punishment.
I was just taking a temperature because you know that'll never happen. But have you read any of the actual statements of Kennedy? Can you believe some of the things this insane Supreme Court justice has written? I'm going to read it to you. The court claims to have identified a, quote, national consensus, unquote, that the death penalty is never acceptable for the rape of a child. Second, the court concludes based on its independent judgment that imposing the death penalty for child rape is inconsistent with, quote, listen to this now, it's inconsistent with the evolving standards of decency that mark the progress of a maturing society. Do you believe this?
Total bunk. Total bunk.
Well, at least I know you're not a crazed lib who's in favor of no death penalty.
The problem is, though, is that I'm afraid with this government and how this government, and I mean collectively, as this has been quote-unquote evolving over the last 15, 20 years, where is this going to end? You know, I can
All right, I hear where you're coming from. I actually had the same opinion from a very conservative family member who said, hold it, slow down, Michael. He said, what kind of rape are you talking about? Date rape? Adult rape? Child rape? Now, what's a child? Is a child 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10? So in other words, when you have the accusations of a child and they're only accusations, someone might wind up dying for it.
Yes, unfortunately. And unfortunately, too, again, will they take it from rape now to burglary, now to grand theft auto? Will they take it to assault one, assault two? That's my problem with it, with a non-murderous crime.
Well, but this case was reviewed strictly about raping a child. And Patrick Kennedy, age 43, was sentenced to death for the rape of his 18-year-old stepdaughter in Louisiana. Okay? Now, the Supreme Court banned executions for rape in 1977 in a case in which the victim was an adult woman. You may not know this, but 45 states currently ban the death penalty for any kind of rape, and the other five states allow it for child rapists. So this is a very unique subset of the rape world. It's for child rape. It's not for rape in general, which is a heinous crime to begin with.
Michael,
I personally believe that too many children are being molested and raped, and I think that only the death penalty would stop it. I would go a step further. I would mutilate them publicly and have it on pay-per-view, and I'm not making this up for effect. Anybody who is seriously convicted, and I mean seriously found to have raped a child, let's say under the age of 10, let's say, and that child was really raped and found guilty and they had their appeal, not only would be subject to the death penalty, they'd be subject to a mutilation, a public mutilation of castration before the general public on pay-per-view, and the money would go towards child prevention, child rape prevention programs. That's the only thing that's going to stop these people. They're not afraid of the law right now. You know that, Vincent. You know they're afraid of nothing, these psychopaths.
I totally agree with you on that, and they are sick.
How are you going to stop them? By telling them you're not going to get the death penalty? Don't you think that's going to encourage them to even rape, to rape even more?
You know, Michael, honestly, I'm just afraid with the government that they'll take it and it'll go on something else then.
I hear you. I understand. But you said you're in favor of the death penalty.
Yes, I am for murder, for treason, and for terrorism acts. Absolutely. And I'm very strict capital punishment with those. Unfortunately, with the government, and I'm very distrustful of the government, and I do listen to you. And I remember what you were saying with certain things, such as when you were speaking about the World War I veterans, when they shot them up.
Yes. You know, very few people know anything about – no, very few people understand the history of any to any extent. They don't even know our government – no, I don't mean this administration, but our government killed World War I veterans who were camping out on the White House lawn in the period right after World War I because they were denied bonuses they were promised while they were fighting in Europe. And they wouldn't leave the White House lawn after months. They were camping there. The government gave them a warning. They wouldn't leave. They shot them dead, and many of them died. And that's what a government is capable of. And it could happen here. Absolutely.
And it's scary, and that's my problem with
it. But, Vincent, I understand that, but this case was limited to the rape of a child. You know and I know there's an epidemic of child molestation and child rape, and we're not talking about made-up stories. It's unbelievable what's going on right now, and I don't know the societal reason for it. There are probably multifactorial reasons, if you want to say reasons. There's only one sure way to stop this kind of crime against our little children, and that is to not only execute the individual, some of them would even like that, but I guarantee you if there was a mutilation clause in the punishment, they'd seriously think twice. You see, most of these guys, I've read some of the psychopathology of them, Vincent, these guys are power mad, and they can't get a normal woman their own age. They can't get a woman at all. So they pick on a little girl, for example, taking a man with a girl. They pick on a little girl who's powerless in order to have a feeling of power. The one thing this kind of psychopath fears the most is being powerless himself. Being executed does not make him powerless. In some cases, being executed actually gives him a sense of power because the whole world's watching him. The liberals come in and bring him birthday cake. The liberals sit outside death row with candles. So the guy gets empowered by the death penalty. What he does not get empowered with is mutilation in public. That would scare them to their core. Because when they, then the fiend is thinking at that moment of going after a child, in his mind would be a fixed picture of him on television having his genitals removed with the entire world watching. That would be quite a deterrent, Vincent. But I appreciate your concern. Now, the chances of this happening is zero. In fact, this country is moving so rapidly in the other direction, it is frightening. But I thought I'd just throw it out there so you can realize that there was a time in history when child rape was unheard of in certain nations. Unheard of. Because the fathers themselves would have burnt the courthouse down. The fathers themselves would have broken into the jail cell and torn the person apart. And let me tell you something. The police, the sheriffs would have thrown in the keys and gone out to lunch. And the judge would have been on vacation when it happened. But we've gone so far in the other direction that these fiends have no fear. They understand. They understand the kind of sick society we live in. When you have Kennedy and Souter and Ginsburg on the U.S. Supreme Court, terrorists don't fear us. Child rapists don't fear us. Who fears us? Tell me who fears this country anymore. I'll tell you who. Straight up, Bible-loving Christians fear this country. They're the only ones left who have anything to fear. Houston, Texas. Abby, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I'm calling, and I have to say that as a true liberal, I totally am for the death penalty. I believe that if you decide to be such a schmuck that you can take advantage of some poor, helpless child, that, you know, you don't deserve to have your life. And I don't see why my tax dollars should go for cable and three square meals a day for some piece of crap like that.
All right. So we agree on this one issue. You say you basically disagree with me on others. When you say you're a true liberal, are you under the age of 30?
Yes.
Okay. I can hear that you will eventually become a conservative because at least you have reason. Most liberals have lost the ability to even reason. And I think you have a keen sense of justice and morality. And at this point in your life, you're probably of the opinion that only liberals are on the side of morality and justice. But as time goes on, I think you'll come to understand there's a much broader spectrum of opinion on many issues. But Abby, there's a joke that goes with this, which is, what do you call a liberal with two children?
A secret Christian conservative?
No, well, the answer is simpler than that. What do you call a liberal with two children? A conservative. What do you call a conservative with a liberal with three children? A right winger. Or the other joke is, anyone at 20 who is not a liberal has no heart. Anyone who at 40 is still a liberal has no mind. You ever heard that one?
No, but that's cute.
You see, but at least you're open to a joke, which is more than I could say for most people, liberal or conservative. God bless you, Abby. Thanks for calling. Houston, Texas, again. What a great market that is. Houston, Texas. If there was water there and snow, I'd consider moving. If there were mountains and snow, I'd consider moving to Texas. I like the politics of the people in Texas, with one exception, what they did to those poor Mormons. Scott in Houston, Texas, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, Dr. Savage, you must be some kind of oracle for our time. I had listened to the stories about the supposed suicide and hadn't been listening to you for a few weeks. I bought into the whole thing, hook, line, and sinker, and luckily that day I went on your program and heard your explanation and couldn't believe I had been such a sheep and duped so badly.
At least you understood that if you analyze the facts, it's impossible that the man committed suicide. It's almost impossible to believe it. Almost impossible. His family denied it. It's not in the Druze culture. It's impossible to believe they wouldn't have vetted a policeman, and that is really an IDF soldier, more carefully in this kind of security realm to be this close to a national leader. Impossible to believe he killed himself. He was executed as sure as I'm sitting here. And he was executed either because he stumbled upon an execution that was about to occur, an assassination plot, and they're covering it up because they don't want anyone to know their security has been breached, and or he himself was a potential assassin working for some nefarious forces, and he was killed in the midst of the act. Nothing else is plausible in this case, Scott. But what's impossible to believe is that there's a blackout in the world media and no curiosity I could see a blackout because all the news has to come out of Israel, and they've closed down the entire crime scene. They will release no information. There's a news blackout in Israel. Okay, that I understand. But no curiosity, no op-eds, no editorials from all the opinion makers in America, all the blowhards, all the idiots who write, all the blowhards who speak. None of them see what's going on here?
Yeah, and not only that, but almost all of the same phraseology for the stories that come out of all of the news media outlets. Everybody's using the same words, terms, and phrases. And
yes, and listen to this. I love reading that Madame Sarkozy, the former model and well-known, I'd like to use a word which I won't use. Let's just say the former model, let's leave it at that, was whisked up the steps. That's a total fabrication. She was not whisked up the steps. She ran up the steps and she abandoned her husband, just like Jackie Kennedy did when JFK was shot in the back of that Lincoln Continental in Texas. She got out of there, man. She hightailed it. She was not whisked up the steps. The whole thing is a lie.
Well, I won't miss the program again. I know
yeah,
that.
Okay, don't worry. You're welcome back into the audience. That's the beauty of radio, is you can tune in, tune out, cost you nothing. Cost you nothing. This is why I'm gonna plug radio right now. Terrestrial radio is going to have a huge comeback. Not that it's fallen off. Something like 90% of the people in America still listen to terrestrial radio on a daily basis, you know. Never mind the outgrowth of all these other media. I involve myself in the net all day long. But something like 90% of the people in this country listen to radio on a regular basis. After the dust settles, and as the economy continues to decline, satellite radio will eventually disappear. It's just been a giant stock scam by the people who run those companies, in my opinion. The whole thing was a stock scam. They took their hundreds of millions out from the top, and they left everyone else on the bottom. That's number one. Number two, this is an easily accessible medium. And number three, there's no talent to match mine anywhere in the entire sphere. I'll be right back. Tis the season to be jolly. It is the Savage Nation. Yeah, season to be jolly. The liberal judges on the U.S. Supreme Court, in addition to slapping us in the face 2 weeks ago by siding with terrorists, have now sided with child rapists. Today, the same four wackos, the left-wing nuts on the U.S. Supreme Court, the diehard internationalists, the diehard anti-family, anti-American, anti-church four on the Supreme Court, have said that the rape of a child does not warrant the death penalty. They said that there is a national consensus that you, the American people, do not accept the death penalty for the rape of a child. The four independent whack jobs on the U.S. Supreme Court said that, quote, the evolving standards of decency that mark the progress of a maturing society mean that there should be no death penalty for child rape. They said that it's never, ever proportional to execute someone for the rape of a child. Well, if it's not proportional to execute someone for raping a little girl, how about having them raped? After all, this is a sport that goes on in certain prisons. There are people who have a proclivity in this regard. I'm sure they would like to comply with equal justice for all. So how about this? We'll split the difference with the four crackpots on the Supreme Court. You don't want the death penalty for child rapists? How about rape for child rapists? Repeated rape every day of their life in prison. Every day of their life while they're in prison, they will scream and they will yell and they will cry and they will beg as they did to that little girl. Every day of their life, they'll beg for mercy as they did to that little child. Every day of their life, they will have a rag put in their mouth as they put a rag in the mouth of that child. What are these justices? Do any of them have children? Do any of these people have children? I know one of them was caught cruising in a Washington park a few years ago. That was hushed up because we're not supposed to know about his private life. I think his name was Souter. Man's about 70, lives with his mother, and he was found beaten up in a Washington area park. Now, I say that to you because you got to understand that a judge is only a human being. And a judge, in addition to only being a human being, is something below a human being. He is first a lawyer. And after becoming a lawyer, what he does is he starts to lobby to become a judge. And then if they're really bad and really evil and evil, really corrupt, they go beyond being just a judge. They want to be a higher judge. And then if they're really rotten to the core, they go higher up yet, by and large. And at the end of the day, they've made deals with so many factions of American society, you know, pornographers, pimps, rapists, murderers, terrorists, that they can find nobody guilty of anything except Christian conservatives who worship God. John, San Francisco, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just want to express outrage that our judges would do something like this.
Well, they're not your judges. They're not our judges. They're judges of the New World Order. They see themselves as the, not the paragon, but let us say the avant-garde of the New America. The New America that is merging with the perverts of Belgium. The New America that is merging with the perversion of Germany and of France. They see themselves as the avant-garde of the New America. The New America that lacks morality altogether. The New America that calls immorality, morality. The New America that calls injustice, justice. In other words, they see themselves sort of as UN judges. But look, John, there's no words I have for these people. They're worse than the rapists as far as I'm concerned. A rapist may be a fiend, but he's caught up in the moment of his madness. These judges sit and make these decisions in sobriety, apparently, and come up with these insane, convoluted statements that the rape of a child is never acceptable to kill anyone who rapes a child. Why don't you tell that to the mother or father of a child who's been raped? Why don't they have the nerve to go before a town hall meeting of the families of rape of children who've been raped? That's what I'd like to say to Justice Kennedy. Why don't you shut your mouth and go before a town hall meeting? You see, if there was real justice in this country, justices like Kennedy would be forced to attend town hall meetings where the families of children who have been raped would confront him with pictures and facts of what happened to their children and maybe show him pictures of their bodies after the fiends got through with them. Then maybe Justice Kennedy would shut his trap and stop writing these disgusting, demented memos to the world court.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, that's terrific. That's well and good. Well, apparently Nancy Pelosi doesn't want the truth to get out. She wants to close down radio that she doesn't like. In other words, she'd be comfortable in the Soviet Union of the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and even the 60s, up until the fall of the Berlin Wall. And that's what passes for a liberal today. Liberals of that ilk, of Nancy Pelosi, and believe me, she's not alone, and there are Republicans along with her who would like to close down talk radio because they also don't like the scrutiny, are fundamentally despots who do not like the sanitizing light of sunlight in their chambers because they've got an awful lot that they'd like to keep hidden and secret. They don't even like any criticism. Now, that's not really part of the American tradition, is it? Criticism of politicians has been part of this tradition from the beginning. The day we permit despots like Nancy Pelosi to permit only opinions that she approves of on the radio airwaves is the day America dies for good. But that's not a topic I think we need to talk about. We'll fight that. We'll fight that one in the courts when the time comes, incidentally. And the topic you know, I raised the story of the Israeli Watergate, which astonishes me because nobody in the media is even talking about it. Nobody, nobody. You can't find this anywhere. Can't even find it on websites that used to be conservative. They're not talking about it. They won't even mention the topic. I had to go to a Lebanese newspaper to get anything on it, and I found it and put it up. It's from Yalibnan, and it's up on michaelsavage.com. And I have a poll now. Was it suicide or assassination? And I'm going to click, was the policeman's death in Israel suicide or assassination? I'm going to click suicide. Then I'm going to say post, because my polls in the past, you could look on it and see how many. Oh, there it is. We have already some results. Thus far, 84% of you say assassination, 14% of you say suicide. It's running 455 to 7. That's not a lot of votes compared to what I have, 70 million on the I don't know how that happened. You think somebody jury-rigged that to get me to run? You think the Democrats hacked my site to get me to run to destroy Kennedy's campaign? It's the only thing that makes sense. I don't have 70 million people over a year who say, Mike, leave radio and run. Although I must tell you this. I know the number wouldn't be that high. There's a case in Utah of an outsider Republican in the primary ran against an established Republican. And the established Republican was for open borders. The established Republican was backed by the Undertaker, Orrin Hatch. The established Republican was on the side of Bush. The established Republican was for illegal aliens. And the outsider Republican who ran against him in the primary whipped him with almost no money. So I actually believe that a true independent Republican right now, meaning somebody who actually believes in conservatism, could whip any Republican on a table with the exception of three or four individuals in the South and Southeast. I think the rest of them are subject to a removal, immediate removal, by anybody who runs against them who's a true conservative and can prove it. But I don't want to be a congressman. Don't you understand that? That would be a step way down for me. And I'm not putting down congressmen. I'm just not bureaucratic in any way. I don't have the mindset to sit through meetings. I can't sit and listen to endless discussions. I don't have the nature for it. I'm actually in the right place at the right time for me. I love radio because my mind is quick. I also like ideas that change, meaning we can discuss many ideas in one day. I like the diversity of callers. I don't know what I'm going to get, so it makes it interesting for me. I like waking up and not knowing what my schedule is going to be other than when I'm going to be on the air. Other than that, I really don't know what I'm going to be doing that day. You understand what I'm saying to you? So really, I'm pretty comfortable in this particular position. I also think that talk radio hosts who are good are fundamentally doing God's work. And what more do you want out of life? I mean, what do you really want? So let's go to the stories. Of all the stories I put up on the show today and posted on michaelsavage.com, one has excited you more than others. And that is the fact that five liberals on the U.S. Supreme Court have rejected the death penalty for raping children. That Kennedy has said that it's not appropriate, it's never acceptable to execute anyone who has raped a child. And I have said in the last hour that I believe that this Supreme Court justice and the other four, the five of them, should be forced to attend a town hall meeting where the children who have been raped, who are no adults, would confront them with pictures of what was done to their bodies, and they'd be forced to listen and not get up like the imperious slobs they have become. You know, there's a saying, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Lord Acton, I believe, stated that. He was a British philosopher or jurist. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. If that does not apply to Anthony Kennedy of the U.S. Supreme Court, to Madam Ginsburg of the gutters of Washington, to David Souter, a man with green grass stains on the knees of his pants on a regular basis, then who does it apply to? Now you say, how dare you insult members of the Supreme Court? Why, are they God Almighty? I think that these people are dangerous for this country. I believe that 2 weeks ago when they said that terrorists have the same rights as American citizens, I believe that today when they ruled yesterday, rather, that it violates the constitutional ban on cruel and unusual punishment to execute child rapists. I believe that these people are a clear and present danger to this society. Now, let you now chime in. Let the Supreme Court injustices, the five of them, by the way, not all Supreme Court justices agreed with them. In fact, Justice Alito, a wonderful, intelligent man, dissented from this psychopath and his majority opinion. I'd like these people, and I'm sure some of them are listening, as sure as I'm sitting here, I can guarantee you that there are people listening to this show that you'd be shocked at their power in this country. And there's a reason they're listening to it. And that is because they want to know what the real American people think, not what the smiling men with bow ties on television or whatever say on the media. They know that doesn't count. They know they got them in their pocket. They want to know what an honest opinion is really like in this country, because even the power mad need to know what their opposition thinks. In fact, the power mad of all people needs to know what their opposition thinks. Now, where are they going to get the opposition viewpoint from? Where are they going to get the opposing viewpoint from? ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, maybe from Fox once in a while. But no, they're going to get the opposing opinions right here on the local radio that you're listening to, whether you're in Boston or Washington or New York or San Francisco or Salt Lake City. Trust me, it's real easy to listen to this show and find out what I think, sure. But how about what you think? Let's go to Houston, Texas, where Lisa has an opinion she'd like to send up to the five liberals on the Supreme Court. Lisa, go ahead. You've got the nation's attention. What is it?
I don't know where they got their opinions. I know they didn't knock on my door whenever they were asking. I was a child of rape, and I'm sorry that I'm emotional. It touches me more than it would anybody else. It ruined my life. It ruins my future. Why does he get to sit in a cell and send me notes threatening my children whenever they get older? And why does he get to live?
Well, I'm not going to play on your emotions and ask you details, because it would be impossible to do that, and I would never do that. I have in my hand the details of the child rape case that was ruled on by these whack jobs, these left-wing nuts on the Supreme Court, what he did to her. At the trial, Dr. Scott Benton of Children's Hospital in New Orleans, an expert in pediatric forensic medicine, who frequently testifies for the state in such cases of child rape, said he had never before seen such violent injuries from a sexual assault. It was so bad that a surgeon was called in to repair the damage to this child. Now, I'm going to stop right there. The little girl was so badly damaged that a surgeon had to repair the damage. And this is the man who was given the death penalty in Louisiana, rightly so. And yet these liberal left-wing nuts dare say that the death penalty would violate the constitutional ban on cruel and unusual punishment. You, of course, don't agree with the Supreme Court.
It's more than just physical, more than that 3 days or that year or that however long. It's in your face every single day. You turn on the news and there's, the special victims unit on television for NBC or whatever it is. And it puts you right back there. And all you did was just change the channel for a moment.
Now, are you telling me that the man who did this to you, the rapist, continues to send you mocking letters from prison and that's legal?
That he was supposed to, as long as I am now an adult, he can contact me. He's got a order that he cannot contact anybody under 18. I still have siblings that he got a hold of that he can't email yet or he can't write yet. He knows computers. He fixes the prison warden's computer, and he gets special favors all the time.
Lisa, we live in a very sick country where the judges themselves are the sickest people in our country. The liberal judges in this country are amongst the most demented people I've ever encountered in my life. I know a few of them personally. I've run into them. They disgust me. They're all phonies, every last one of them. They smile to your face, but behind the scenes, they're sick as a dog. They're sick as a rabid, mad dog. But look at this. Here's a girl, a woman who was raped as a girl, who's telling you on this show, she's testifying that the man who raped her is still in prison, and he's sending her threatening letters from jail to torment her, and the judge does nothing about it. The warden does nothing about it. And that's because of why? It's because of sick, demented characters in black robes who think they're God Almighty, Lisa.
He's coming up for parole in 2 years. And they've already asked me to come testify. And I have to.
And you're afraid to testify, I would think.
Because that was my stepfather. And he knows me. It's not like this was a stranger. This was an incident. This was a one-off. I mean, don't get me wrong. Those are still terrible. But
how long has he been in jail?
I was eight, about 19. So it's been 6 years, and he's still messaging me. And I can't do anything about it. I send it back to the DA. I mean, I don't read them because I stopped reading them a long time ago. I can't do it. It ruins my I can't.
Are his messages sexual in nature?
No, they're about revenge, about plotting, about how I did him wrong, about how he knows that he did nothing wrong and that I made malicious.
Oh, you made it up, in other words. Did he also go to the next step and say you wanted him to rape you?
Yes, that it's all my fault that I had led him on.
Well, that's what the psychopathic predator uses, by the way, in their defense, is that the little girl was a Jezebel who led me on.
I was 6 years old. How am I supposed to be able to make a man who is 30 years old plus do anything that he doesn't want to do, and I'm 6 years old?
Lisa, you remember the movie The Godfather? Did you ever see it?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember how it opens? It opens at the wedding of the Godfather's daughter, and he has to see a tradition of the custom of the people at the time. The groom, the father, rather, of the daughter has to see people who ask him favors at the day of the daughter's wedding. And the first person admitted to see the Godfather, the gangster, is an undertaker whose daughter was raped or molested by a group of boys. And the boys were caught and went to the court. And he says to Godfather, they walked out of that court. They were found innocent, and as they left, he said, "Do you know what they did, Godfather? They looked me in the eye, and they laughed at me." He said, "Godfather, I'll do anything for you, but please give me justice." Do you remember the opening of that movie?
Vaguely. It's been a while.
Lisa, let me tell you something. The reason for the popularity of The Godfather is because we have lost it as a civilized society because of liberal judges, because of liberalism in general. And people are reverting fundamentally to gangs when they're very poor and to networks when they're at another level and to other methods of justice that you, unfortunately, are not capable of approaching. But I can guarantee you if you were a rich person, Lisa, this wouldn't be happening to you. I can guarantee you if you were a wealthy person, Lisa, this man would never see the light of day. Moreover, Lisa, I can guarantee you that if you had any connections, Lisa, he would never see the light of day. That's all I can say. Have a nice day. I wish to God I could help you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Extra, extra, hear all about it. Nancy Pelosi wants talk radio unplugged, seeks only left-wing nuts on air. Radical leftists on Supreme Court reject death penalty for raping children, saying that the rapists would have their constitutional rights violated. We're also talking about the Israeli Watergate, which is being covered up by the Israeli government and by the U.S. media, which is complicit, in my opinion, in order to complete the takeover of Israel, the dismemberment of Israel, and the march toward the New World Order. If you care to comment on any of these topics or any of my statements, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. There's another story that you shouldn't miss that I posted for your viewing pleasure. JFK terror suspects to be arraigned is how it was put by Fox News. Gee, but they're all Muslims. And they all are radical Muslims. And gee, they plan to blow up JFK Airport, the fuel dumps. In the name of their God, they have to be extradited from the Caribbean where they were hiding. And the chief amongst the Muslim terrorists is an imam, a holy man, who wanted to blow up JFK's fuel dumps. But the holy man says that he's hospitalized now, that he's had a nervous breakdown. Yakima, Washington. Jane, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, after listening to the last phone call, I don't know that I completely disagree with the death penalty because I really think it's due at some points. But I do have a member of my own family who's been accused of this horrible atrocities, and it just didn't happen. And I couldn't even imagine how much worse it would be.
You're right. Now, that is a very, very important point. However, and there's an important however here, Jane. Believe me, I'm aware of the false claims of rape of children in Massachusetts in the 80s. I know that there were people put away who were still there because the governor refused to release them, even though there was no evidence. It was all made up. But what was done to this child in Louisiana was very clear. This surgeon who repaired the young girl said he had never before seen such violent injuries from a sexual assault. This man was given the death penalty. It was not an ambiguous case. It was not a maybe made up magic room case. You know what I mean? This was a specific case of rape.
Savage.
They raised my daughter in the American fashion. She found a boyfriend, not an Italian. 2 months ago, he took her for a drive with another boyfriend. They made her drink whiskey. They tried to take advantage of her. She resisted. She kept her honor. So they beat her like an animal. When I went to the hospital, her nose was broken. Her jaw was shattered. Held together by wire. She couldn't even weep because of the pain. These 2 boys were brought to trial. The judge sentenced them to 3 years in prison and suspended the sentence. Suspended the sentence? They went free that very day. I stood in the courtroom like a fool. And those 2 bastards, they smiled at me. Then I said to my wife, for justice, we must go to Don Corleone.
Now, that's the piece, the very famous piece from The Godfather, where the whole story revolves around, strangely enough, although Don Corleone, the character in The Godfather, was a gangster, he was actually revered by millions of people who have seen the movie because he represented in a certain way biblical justice. I remember this scene. He didn't just say, he asks the undertaker what he wants them to do to the boys who molested his daughter. And he whispers in his ear and he says, no, that's too much. And then he calls over his henchmen and he says, I want reliable men. I don't want them to get out of control. So right away, they set the scene to show you that although he was a gangster, he was judicious. He was a Solomon-like gangster, and he didn't want to deal in drugs and whatnot. But the point is a little different from that. What I'm trying to say to you is one of the reasons we have an outbreak of gang life in America, and I'm not justifying it at all, is because the very poor have no justice in this country. You know that, and I know that. They have zero justice. Even if they're innocent, they're guilty. You know that just for being poor, they're guilty for being poor. Because in a society that worships wealth, the poor are guilty of being poor. That you know. After all, who does the media hold up every day? A slut and a vermin every day. A slut and a degenerate in a fancy outfit. And the next day you read they're in a treatment facility. The day before they're shown in an opening in the catwalk. The next day they're throwing up on themselves and they're in a rehab. But that's the media we have today. They hold them up as role models. They certainly wouldn't need to go to the Godfather for justice. The rich don't need to go to the Godfather because they could have someone arrested with the snap of a finger. But the poor have no recourse. So they join gangs. They need protection from their own people. Again, I'm not justifying it. We know what terrible things most gangs do. But there's a protection in the gang that people seek when they're poor. Even if they are not given towards criminality to begin with, they wind up brought into the criminal life because there is no justice for them in the larger society. We all know that. Now you come to child rape. Here is a case that is not ambiguous. This is not like Massachusetts in the 80s where children were led by investigators and child protective services to make up stories about rape in a magic room that never existed. And people went away for years. And the governor never pardoned them, so far as I know. I think some of them are still in jail. I think the McMartin preschool case, I remember it to this day. See, my mind clicked in there. The McMartin preschool case was all invented by radical, anti-male, mean-faced, clipped-haired members of the anti-male brigade. But it's not that kind of case. This is a different case. This case, the man was given, his name was Kennedy, strangely enough, and the Supreme Court justice who said it would be cruel and human punishment to execute him, his name is Kennedy. No relationship, of course. I'm sure there's no familial relationship between the two gentlemen in question. But the man who committed the rape has a name. His name is Patrick O. Kennedy. Was it an ambiguous rape case? Well, I'll let you decide. At the trial, Dr. Scott Benton of Children's Hospital in New Orleans came before the court, and he said he had never before seen such violent injuries from a sexual assault. a surgeon was called in to repair the damage done to the little girl. When the ambulance came for this child on March 2, 1998, emergency workers found her wrapped in a bloody cargo blanket, wearing her Disney movie-inspired Pocahontas T-shirt and bleeding profusely. I can't even read it anymore. I'm starting to get mad and I want to cry. And I frankly want to take out something and start breaking it right now. But in fact, she was raped by a 250-pound male with a gold earring in his left earlobe, who turned out to be her stepfather. Now, he was found guilty because blood evidence proved damning for Kennedy, the rapist, at his trial, which ended August 03. And it included testimony from a carpet cleaner who recalled that Kennedy scheduled, quote, an urgent carpet cleaning job to remove bloodstains. So this is not an ambiguous rape case. This man, this beast, this predator, this fiend almost killed the child, raped her, left her bloody and torn apart. So we're not talking about an ambiguous rape case. That's why the good folks in Louisiana, who are not given to liberal sensitivities or sensibilities, know what real justice is, and they gave him the death penalty. But today, the U.S. Supreme Court said, no, no, you stupid Cajuns. We in the civilized ethers of Washington, D.C., we know what justice is. We alone know what justice is. You dumb Cajuns down there know nothing of justice. You are primitive men. You are primitive women. No, we love people up here in Washington, D.C. We love justice and we love humanity. And so for the sake of justice and humanity, you little peons in Louisiana will not get to execute this fiend. He instead will enjoy life in prison without parole. I rest my case. I have nothing more to say. If you have something to say, let's tell you what we're going to do. Let's do a cross-cultural study. Let us analyze, since we're all so enamored of multiculturalism, let's travel abroad in our minds and find out where child rape is almost never heard of, where it doesn't occur. And then we'll analyze why it doesn't occur there. Let us begin in Orlando, Florida, where Stefano has a little story to tell us. Stefano, go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm from Italy originally, and I can tell you that a few years ago, since I follow what happens there still, there were a couple of homosexuals who walked free after raping several boys, and there was a real public outrage. Mm-hmm. And as you know, in Italy, there is no death penalty, and the Europeans are supposed to be all against the death penalty, that kind of stuff. Well, this happened near Naples, and the local mafia took the law in its own hands pretty much, and the two rapists, within maybe a month or less, on different days, had two guys killed by two other guys on motorcycles who showed up where they worked and shot them dead. And
isn't that terrible? Isn't that a horrible case of vigilantism, Stefano? Doesn't it break your heart?
I feel like vomiting. Anyway, the thing I wanted to say is this, that, you know, they always tell you that Italy and the Europeans, and they're all against the death penalty. I can tell you that, strangely enough, the media and everybody, you know, more or less were silent, aside from a couple of professional, you know, like the whiners, like the higher females, the female mourners at the funerals, like in the old days. Okay,
with that. Yes, yes, the professional criers.
Professional criers, okay, that always showed up in the media, were the only ones who spoke against all of this. Everybody else was fine, and nobody complained.
So, in other words, they liked street justice. The people said, thank God they got what they deserved.
Yes, people would love a lot of street justice, and they would love to have the death penalty a lot more than the media there and the politicians would let, you know.
Well, it's the same in Italy as it is here. The difference is there's a more powerful, let us say, other rung of justice in Italy.
Yes, in the South, which is where the government doesn't have much control. Actually, there is the local mafia in it that is called in different ways depending on where you are, and they will really, if you go up to them, they will get things done. They can steal your car. You go to the police, you will never find your car again. You go to the local mobster, well, somebody who knows him will get your car back for $500 as long as you just...
That's probably because they took the car.
Well, they are.
I remember once I had moved back to New York in the mid-'80s, and I had really no money. I bought a used Cadillac because they're good cars. It was a car, 3 years old, beautiful condition. Well, the first night I drove down to, frankly, to New York, to the Greenwich Village. I parked. I went into a restaurant. I come out a few hours later. The grill was gone. The entire grill. It was like I don't know the year of Cadillac, whatever. They had massive grills that were very expensive. I said, wait a minute, that can't be my car. My car had a grill on it. I come out, there's no grill. So I drive all the way back to Long Island, shamefacedly, with like a real junker, right? I go to a local junkyard the next day, and I say to him, someone stole my grill last night. Can you get me a grill? He says, sure, no problem. So within a day, he gets me a grill, of course, out of pay. It was the same grill they stole from me. He happened to be able to get the very grill that matched the screws perfectly, Stefano.
Okay, well,
no, I mean, that's a, you know, like a mild story. That's like not, you can live with those kind of crimes. But I think when it comes down to raping children, there's a universal desire to see the rapist killed, don't you think?
Well, I would strangle whoever touched my son with my own hands and then would just brag about it. And
Stefano, thank you for calling the Savage Nation. I was afraid he was going to say, and then do something. Oh, boy, these poor parents with young children today with the rampant insanity going on. You know, it's in the rape just against girls either. There's rape of little boys now, too. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they rape boys, too. Oh, sure. But look, let me tell you something. There's nothing new under the sun. I got to tell you that when I was a kid, and I'm no child, we're talking quite a few decades ago, and we grew up in the South Bronx. It wasn't as bad then as it became, and it's pretty good today. But it was bad, and my mother would never let go of my hand when I was a kid under the age of five. Never. When we walked, I mean in the house. We took a walk somewhere. Like on the ground. I don't know where she took me, who remembers? She held my hand and she would always lecture me. She says, you see that building up there? And she made me look at the roof of like an 8-story apartment house. She scared me to death. She said, you see that roof? I said, yes. She said, a man grabbed a boy your age, a little boy like you, took him up on the roof and hurt him and threw him off the roof. All right, that's nice. Now, you say, well, she traumatized me. Yeah, so she, of course she traumatized me. She traumatized me with reality. What would you rather have your son run around in the streets without trauma and wind up thrown off a roof after being raped? That's your choice, because there's no in-between in this country anymore. You people don't even understand the kind of animals that are out in the street. Most of you don't even know the kind of animals are out in the world. The same thing with the war on terror. You don't know what kind of animals you're dealing with. Because you have these schmuck judges telling you that they're human beings just like you. They're not human beings like you. They're subhumans. And number two, anyone who rapes a child is no longer a human being. They're lower than an animal. The judge has the nerve in the Supreme Court to say that it's not equal to the crime. Executing that the rapist is not equal to the crime. Well, how about having him raped in a prison for the rest of his life? That's if anybody would want to do it. I'm sure there would be people who would enjoy doing that. Let's have him raped every day for the rest of his life till he screams like the little girl that he raped. Would that work for you liberals? How about an eye for an eye and a blank for a blank? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Them apart. I'm going to make sure that the rest of their life is ruined. That when they're 8 years old, they throw up. When they're 12 years old, they won't sleep. When they're 19 years old, they'll have nightmares and they'll never have a relationship with anybody. And that's not because I'm a nice guy. That's because when you are in court and you are defending somebody's
liberty.
All
right, let's stop right here. This is a Democrat from Massachusetts, of course. His name is Fagan, right out of Shakespeare. And he's saying what he would do as a defense attorney if he had a little child on the stand who had been raped. He said, I'd rip them apart. I'm going to make sure the rest of their life is ruined. When they're 8 years old, they'll throw up on the stand. When they're 12, they won't sleep, etc. Now, you know where I stand. Anyone who rapes a child, really rapes a child, should be mutilated and killed. Now, and yet we found out yesterday that our U.S. Supreme Court said, no, they should have human rights. Well, with me now is a friend of mine from El Salvador. She's a beautiful woman. She's like my mother, mi madre.
Thank you.
And she speaks excellent Spanish. And I ask this compassionate, kind woman, how do they treat child rapists in El Salvador? What do you think should be done? I want you to tell my, and this is some people listening, in Spanish, what you think they do or should be done. Tell me what you think they should do to a child rapist. Just tell me.
Lord.
Here.
Lo hubieran matado a él también, porque ese es un abuso a los niños. Ese es, no hay derechos humanos. Y a él le hubieran hecho lo mismo que él le hizo al niño. So, eso quiere decir que no hay temor de nada. Por eso el mundo está perdido, porque no respetan ni los niños, no respetan a nadie.
If you don't respect children, you respect nothing. Is that what you said? Yeah. And this woman is a beautiful woman who's a devout Christian. Believe me, I'm not talking maybe fake Christian or just goes through the motions like a politician. This woman eats, breathes, and lives God. And here's a woman, what she says about justice. God bless you, Teresa.
Thank you. God,
you made many new friends tonight.
Thank you.
I'm going to make you. She's going to be a fill-in. I'm going to have her as a regular guest on the show. Thank you very much. Well, you heard it. I didn't understand every word, but I got the end of it, which is that anyone who doesn't respect children respects nobody. Did you hear that? You want to understand genius? The woman has more. This woman who just spoke on my show in Spanish has more brains than those five dunces on the Supreme Court. Cincinnati, Matthew, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
This Supreme Court has denied the rights of the unborn, and now they're denying the rights of children to have justice.
Well, I guess they hate children. I guess you're right. There's a pattern here.
They're siding with the filth of our society.
I agree with you. What can I do about it? We are in a headlock of radical leftist internationalists. If it was up to me and I was the president, I wouldn't put up with it. I would override them.
It makes me wonder what they're doing in their private lives.
Well, I wouldn't go there. I'm not going to, you know, go along with that concept because I don't believe that they're evil men. I think that these are foolish men, and I believe these are fools, not evil men, although sometimes I'm not sure there's a big difference. Did anyone out there listen to the Spanish guest that I had, Pearson Speak Spanish, on my show, who has agreed with nothing I've ever said in all the years you've listened to me on the radio, then you now suddenly understand that you should maybe start listening to me a little more carefully? That sometimes the guy you think is the most evil is actually your friend. And sometimes the good liberal who you people who think I'm so evil, the good liberals who you think are your friend are actually your worst enemy. Do you understand what I just said to you? Is there a Spanish speaker out there who suddenly saw the light of day? Have you finally understood what I'm saying to you? That sometimes the liberals who you think are on your side, who got you to rally against me, for example, in San Francisco, they are not on your side. They're using you for their own purposes. They're using the Spanish-speaking poor of this country to advance an agenda that is anti-family, it's anti-church, it's anti-God. Only I represent what you believe in, not them. It's going to take you a while to understand it because this country is very complicated to understand. I understand it's easy to be misled. I am not your worst enemy. They are. They are your plantation master. I am your friend. I think I'm going to have my friend come on the show again once in a while. That was nice. She was literate. I looked at her. I was shocked. Does anyone understand Spanish? Could tell me exactly what she said, more or less. I guess you can't remember it. I'm going to have to translate it. She could be a sage underneath it all. Maybe because she doesn't speak English that well. I never understood how brilliant she was. No, I'm serious. I have always found that the common person is not that common. I've found it all my life that the average person can be very, very, very surprising, you know. New York, Siham, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's an honor to talk to you. I agree with Teresa 100%. You know, we don't have to be just devout Christians, just a small level.
Do you understand Spanish? Did you know what she actually said?
Yes, and that who do not respect kids do not respect anybody, and that is the truth.
Uh-huh. Who does not respect children does not respect anybody or anything.
Or anything.
Or anything. If you don't respect children, you respect nothing on earth.
Exactly.
You see, it's a human condition. That children have to be protected from society. Protected. not thrown to the wolves by the judges, the liberal judges, the human rights.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Nicolas Sarkozy was about to board his plane when a dramatic incident happened.
Why this particular border policeman killed himself.
Border guard stationed around 150 meters from the plane shot himself dead.
The border policeman was never very close to any of the VIPs involved in this incident.
A border policeman committed suicide.
A policeman shot and killed himself.
The French president and his wife were, along with Prime Minister Olmert.
And she was whisked up the steps. A husband not far.
Two women soldiers who witnessed the apparent suicide fainted.
Suicide.
Suicide.
Killed himself. Suicide.
Suicide.
Fortunately, everything worked out well.
I'm going to rip them apart. I'm going to make sure that the rest of their life is ruined. That when they're 8 years old, they throw up. When they're 12 years old, they won't sleep. When they're 19 years old, they'll have nightmares and they'll never have a relationship with anybody. And that's not because I'm a nice guy.
Blue Monday. Hold it, hold it, hold it. It's not Monday. It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday in the Savage Nation. Fats, give him the day off, would you please? I played a montage on the phony Israeli suicide story. It really is the Watergate of the Israeli Watergate. I then played for you the a soundbite from a Massachusetts Democrat, wouldn't you know, named Fagan, right out of Shakespeare. Dickens, sorry. Fagan, Dickens, not Shakespeare, thank you. Fagan Dickens saying that as a defense lawyer he would destroy children on the stand to defend his clients. He says, I'm going to rip them apart. I'm going to make sure that the rest of their life is ruined, that when they're 8 years old, the girl would throw up. When they're 12 years old, they won't sleep. When they're 19 and 11, have nightmares, and they'll never have a relationship with anybody. And this is what passes for a congressman or a state representative in Massachusetts. Well, I'm not surprised. As you know, liberalism is a mental disorder, and most liberals are also extremely mean behind the scenes. They're very good actors. Well, not to me they aren't, because when you strip away their masks, you see pure evil. But let's go back to the case in point. Five liberals on the U.S. Supreme Court have ruled that a child rapist in Louisiana is not entitled to die. He can't get the death penalty. Judge Kennedy said imposing the death penalty for child rape would violate the constitutional rights of the rapist. Now, this child didn't make the story up. In fact, a surgeon was called in from Children's Hospital in New Orleans, and he said he had never before seen such violent injuries from a sexual assault, and he had to repair the damage by sewing the girl up. When the ambulance came for this child, emergency workers found her wrapped in a bloody cargo blanket, wearing her Disney movie-inspired... I can't read it. I get emotional, that's all. I don't know. I can't even go on with this. I think we live in the sickest society the world has ever seen, and it's all because of liberalism. There's nothing more I can say. I work on this every day. I got to stop at a certain point. Tucson, Arizona. Patrick, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, about what Teresa said there, it came out.
Let me explain to the audience what we mean. In the last hour, we were talking about child rape, and I had a friend from El Salvador go on the air and speak in Spanish what she thinks should be done to child rapists. And she's a Christian, and she's extremely nice and very kind. I never heard a mean word come out of her mouth. I don't know what she actually said, other than at the end, I heard her say that anyone who doesn't respect the child doesn't respect anything. What else did she actually say, Patrick?
She said that it was, well, I didn't get every single word. She said it was obvious that they should do the same to him as what he did to her.
In other words, yeah, okay, an eye for an eye, in essence.
And someone like her, she can tell that's very simple to figure out.
You mean what the eye would be in this case?
Yes.
Yeah, it would be the dead eye. I get it. Thanks for the call. 1-800-4... Using an old phrase from the sea that I read in passing. Sacramento. Kevin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike. I just had to call and tell you I'm in the correction system, and I was just going to give these people out here a few nuggets to remember. And because of these judges and this no death penalty for child rapists, well, justice is served in a way that a lot of people out there don't see, because those guys are not accepted in prison. And the first time those guys get cozy and go in the yard, things tend to happen.
But Kevin, let me ask you something. Aren't they often put in either protective custody or amongst their own kind?
Well, yeah, Michael, but a lot of times the guys, they slip through and they get to go to the main line, which I know, which is about, and I used to be a Corcoran, and I've seen a lot of things firsthand, and I know that these guys slip through the cracks, and when they do get out there, when they get on their comfort zone,
when they think that they've pulled a fast one on the system and no one knows what they're in for?
That gets found out because they all have their paperwork and stuff, and that just it just manages to find.
So of all the crimes, this is one that all prisoners across the board reject.
As far as I know, and in the state of California here, that is not accepted, anything against women or children, and rightly so.
Amazing.
Yes.
It's strange to hear, because I had no idea there was even a sense of any sense of justice at all anywhere.
There's a lot of do, and they go to prison for, and they could, you know, for murder or extortion or robbery or things like that. But there's a lot of those. But this is one of those things where that's just not accepted. That's not a man. That's not a man to these guys. It's not respected, and they will deal with it, because I know, because I work in that type of setting, and I see it. And believe me, when the opportunity presents itself, things are taken care of as quickly as can be.
Mm.
So
we can't. We certainly can't condone that kind of behavior, Kevin. You know that. On the other hand, if it was legal, I would certainly go for a public punishment of a child rapist of this kind, with public mutilation on pay-per-view, with the money going for a defense fund for the children of these people. And I think that would be one of the greatest deterrents, for the reasons I mentioned. Isn't it true that the worst thing a child rapist fears is a loss of control and a loss of power?
That is true.
Psychologically, they probably don't even fear death row, because they know they're going to be on it nice and cozy for 20 years with all the liberals coming and crying outside their cell and giving them newspapers and magazines and internet stories or whatever, turning them into damn heroes. But the one thing they wouldn't want to think about is themselves being castrated publicly on pay-per-view with the money going towards a defense fund, because that would show them to be what they are, number one, but they would be left mutilated. As they mutilated the child, shouldn't they be mutilated? Well, I'll leave it to you, the people. Let's start the dialogue, you know, just to counter the judges. Just have a little dialogue of the American people. I'll be right back. Joseph Arpaio is a law enforcement officer and very famous, and he's the sheriff of Maricopa. Joseph, background.
I was born in Springfield, Massachusetts. Joined the Army about the day the Korean War broke out when I was 18, and then I joined the Washington, D.C. Police Department, walked a tough beat, and then Las Vegas, long enough to lock up Elvis Presley.
Hmm.
And then I joined the Bureau of Narcotics, which is the Drug Enforcement Administration. So my whole career with the feds have been fighting the international drug traffic around the world. Director in Mexico, South America, also the only federal agent in Turkey, the Middle East, and I can go on and on. So my big career was with the United States Drug Enforcement.
Well, what's your stance on immigration?
you know, I enforce all the laws, do have compassion for the Mexican people, having lived in Mexico City, dealing with the Attorney General and many, many others. My mother and father were born in Italy. They came here legally. So I just feel that if you violate the law, whether it's a state or federal law, the sheriff should enforce all aspects of every law, and that's what we do. And immigration seems to be a hot item right now. We enforce the federal side. Had 160 of my officers trained by ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, largest in the United States. So we go after employer sanction violations, smuggling, process people that come into our jails, 14,000. We have investigated to prove that they are illegal, booked into our jails. So I'm just enforcing that law, too. But we do other things. We lock up murderers, rapists, and everything else. On the other hand, I'm getting all the publicity for being proactive in the fight against illegal immigration.
Well, how do you think the country went wrong on immigration?
Well, I think maybe we should have done something 20 years ago. It just became a problem as far as publicity and politicians are concerned in the last 3 years. We do have people running for president, kind of discouraging. You hear nothing now about illegal immigration. It's always the economy and gas, terrorism. It seems to be on the back burner, but I know why. And the reason is they're afraid of losing the Hispanic vote. They just care about votes. I don't care about the Hispanic vote here. I've been reelected 4 times. I'm going on number 5. So I do what's right. I don't report to any politician, any bureaucrat. I report directly to the 4 million people that we know of that live in this county. This immigration is still on the top of people's minds here in Arizona, at least. They support me. They support what I am doing, and I'm going to continue, regardless of the mayor of Phoenix that has gone to the Justice Department accusing me of everything in the book, profiling. I can go on and on. The governor has taken away $1.2 million that the legislature gave me. So everybody's trying to cut my head off, but I got news for them. We're going to continue to lock up those that violate the illegal immigration laws, so they're not going to get rid of me by trying to go to back door and take away my money or try to get the U.S. Justice Department and the FBI to investigate me on garbage.
Oh, of course, the enemies of immigration, illegal immigration, is saying that you're just locking up anyone who's brown skin.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. They're all complaining. They're all accusing me. They're afraid to go to church. They're afraid to go to schools. Why is everybody afraid if they're obeying the law? So I got a gut feeling that because we're locking them up as they enter this county, that they're skirting the county, going through other counties. And number two, a lot of them are leaving because of the employer sanction law. We just arrested 9 employees, a national publicized case in the workplace. So we're just enforcing the laws. And I don't know why the people are criticizing, but it's not that many. When I have demonstrators, including some politicians marching around and have the KKK, me in a uniform, putting on a website, placing my picture next to Hitler's picture, calling me every name in the book, having kids carrying these placards around, demonstrating when I'm out there enforcing the laws in Phoenix and other areas, there's something wrong. So I seem to be the poster boy. But you know what? I'm happy to be the poster boy.
Tell us how you run the jails.
Well, we have almost 10,000 people in jail. Out of the 10,000, I have almost 2,000 in the tents. When I took office in 93, I wanted to put tents up. Got some Korean War tents. They're in the desert. I was there with an international TV crew again. They come every week. It was rather hot, even though it's not hot in Phoenix that much, but it was 135 degrees. And my soundbite is our men and women are fighting for our country. They're living in tents. So shut your mouth and quit complaining being in the hot tents. I'm putting up more tents just for spite.
You brought back chain gangs?
Well, I don't know. Everybody says I brought them back. I may have brought the male chain gang, but I have the only female chain gang in the history of the world. I didn't bring any females back. We never had them. So I have the females on chain gangs, been doing that for 8 years. I'm an equal opportunity incarcerator. We shouldn't treat women differently because they're in jail. So they're out there on the streets where everybody can see them, hooked together with pink underwear and striped uniforms, picking up trash. And every week we send them to the county cemetery to bury the dead, the indigent that have died. So they sure learn a lesson when they have to bury small kids and understand how important life is.
Do you see things getting better?
Well, I don't know. Everybody goes after me. You're tough stance. Crime is still there. Yes, it is. However, you look at FBI stats and everything else, everybody's bragging that crime has gone down, violence and everything else. Of course, they don't give me any credit for that, but that's okay. No, we still have crime here because of the illegal immigration problem. I'll tell you, Ron, when they say there's no crime, how come 22% of people booked into our jails are illegals? Don't tell me these chiefs of police get up there and say they commit just as many crimes as everybody else. Well, you know what? Even if it was true, if we didn't have them here, we would have reduced crime 20% anyway because they never would have been committing a crime if they didn't get here illegally and they happen to be criminals. Everybody forgets. When you cross that border, you have violated the law. You are a criminal, period.
Exactly.
Oh, I see things getting better in Arizona. I think the illegal immigration problem, we're never going to stop it altogether. I know how to stop it, but nobody will ask me how to stop it. You don't think the media or the politicians will ever ask for my advice only because I've got 14 years experience on both sides of the border, but that's okay. They don't want to ask me. I know how I would do it if I was the president.
Well, my listeners know how I would stop it. How would you?
The minute they cross the border, you lock them up and put them in jail. You can't work behind bars and send money back to your loved ones.
True.
Now you get a free ride back. What's the problem? You come over, you get a free ride back. Put them in jail. It's a violation of law, period. Then they say, we can't. We don't have the money. Well, put up tents. Well, if you don't want to steal my idea, put up temporary quarters. The greatest country in the world, all I hear is we don't have enough prosecutors. We don't have enough jails. We send billions overseas fighting wars. We can't fight this war and put a few people in jail? Do you know what the bottom line is? They don't want to lock them up. That's the bottom line. Actually, politicians don't even know where Mexico is, most of them, but they're all experts. I'm the guy that lived there and fought the battles at that border, and nobody asked me. But I don't have to be asked. You know what? I just enforce the laws.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, thanks for having me on. You're a great patriot. Thanks for what you do to get messages out to the people of this country.
You know, people are trying to silence Michael Savage. That's me. I need your help. It's a big battle, a legal battle. The opposition has unlimited funds. I don't. Will you please go to michaelsavage.com, contribute $5, $10, $1,000, $10,000. You'll notice that you can contribute to the Legal Defense Fund under a new address. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco 94111. Thank you for helping protect freedom
Savage.
Of speech. There's not a lot of news about what's going on in Russia. The new Russia is marching in an alarming direction under the leadership of Vladimir Putin, who used to run the KGB, and it's veered back toward the authoritarian roots of imperial czarist times that were firmly established during the Soviet era. Though Russia has a new president, Dmitry Medvedev, Putin remains in control, rendering the democratic reforms of the past Soviet order somewhat irrelevant. Steve Levine is the chief foreign affairs writer for Business Week. He was a foreign correspondent for 18 years, posted in the Soviet Union, Pakistan, the Philippines. He's now written a new book entitled Putin's Labyrinth, which describes a country stained by a culture of death.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on today.
Give us a little background of your book. It's not written like a typical history book.
That's a good question. It's actually a departure for me as well. I'm in my first book, I did a standard history. But here we had a story about Russia. We had a series of assassinations. We had an attempt by the world, really, and by the United States to understand what was going on in this country and particularly after the assassination of the Russian defector Alexander Litvinenko by a nuclear isotope, what was going on in this country. And I decided that the way to handle it was to simply take the most recent high-profile victims of these murders, six people who were known for their deaths, and bring them to life. Who were these people? And to learn about Russia by going through their lives and deaths.
You brought up the Litvinenko assassination. You didn't portray him as a very sympathetic character in your book.
No, I didn't. I don't think he's a sympathetic character. He gained the world's sympathy because of the way he died, this horrendous death, drinks a cup of tea unknowingly at a hotel in downtown London, and for the next 3 weeks, his body was at war with itself, being pummeled by the ejection of nuclear molecules all over inside his body. But he himself is a mixed character, and he was an angry person, and he didn't really have any friends. He had his wife, he loved his son, he had one or two close friends, perhaps, but that's about it. He was a very difficult person. But I think that was the main point, is that in Russia, what I discovered was that whether you were a likable person, a not likable person, a friend of the regime, not a friend of the regime, there was a line, and if you crossed that line, then you were at risk of being murdered. And the rules of the game were that people who ply that trade, killers, paid killers, could do this and go free. And the masterminds of the killing could go ahead and, when they were so moved, order someone else killed and do so unpunished.
You also talked about Nikolai Kokolov, who actually survived an assassination attempt like Litvinenko.
Yes, this was a gold mine find that, for me as a writer, really helped the book and helped my understanding. Nikolai, who died, by the way, about 6 or 8 months ago, finally, at the age of 85, back in 1954, he was a trained killer. He was trained by Stalin's KGB to assassinate enemies of the regime, of the Soviet regime, abroad. And he was sent in 1954 to carry out a specific assassination in Frankfurt. He had a bout of conscience and decided, I can't kill this guy. And he actually went to the guy's door in Frankfurt, to his apartment, and confessed, I've been sent here to kill you, but I can't do it. And they formed one of the strangest friendships and became a partnership against the regime. He defected. Nikolai defected, and he lost his family. He lost his wife and his son because they could not get out. They ended up being arrested. He went on to become a professor of psychology in San Bernardino, California. And he was an important person for me in understanding how the regime acted against defectors, because 3 years after his defection in 1957, he was attending a European conference in Frankfurt, by the way, again. He drank a cup of coffee at the conference, and it turned out that it had been poisoned, and it was a radioactive poison, this time thallium. Litvinenko was poisoned by polonium, but it was a radioactive isotope of thallium. But he survived. He went through exactly the same symptoms as Litvinenko, but he survived. And the theory goes that it perhaps was old thallium, so it had already gone through much of its half-life, or it was not a sufficient amount of thallium. In any case, he survived, and that meant that he became a potent spokesman about what Moscow was capable of. And when 50 years later Litvinenko was poisoned, he was a witness that, yes, this could be Moscow that did this.
Putin has a very high approval rating. Why is that?
This is the other side of the story. I'm really glad you asked that, is that if you were in Russia, if you were a Russian, if you were Putin, if I were Putin, you might behave the same way that he behaves. Here, Russia was on its knees, was not even on its knees. Through the 90s, it was prone, and its economy was a shambles, and he came in, and even before the revival of oil prices, he reinstituted a discipline, a fiscal discipline and a cultural discipline. And then oil prices went through the roof. And because of the superstructure that he set up, you know, people's lives really improved. They have improved. The middle class has grown. There's a prosperity that Russians have never seen, not just now in the post-Soviet period, not just in the Soviet period, ever. No, Russians have never lived so well. So naturally, he's very popular because of that. And Russians who have never had American-style or European-style democracy don't really care. And the democracy that they did see during that 10 years of the Yeltsin years during the 1990s was not something that was impressive for them. They associate it with chaos. And so Putin is a popular figure. And when he goes into Europe and juts out his chin and criticizes the West and criticizes the United States, it's very popular at home, and I can support that. But where I draw the line is the attitude toward the actual lives of his people and the attitude toward murder and death.
With Russia's stockpiling of energy sources, are we looking at a new Cold War looming?
It's not the Cold War. This is an image. It is an image that people raise, that's raised more and more, especially as the rhetoric between Russia and the West gets more antagonistic. But I don't think it's a Cold War. It is a divergence of interest. What the West and the next American president, whether it's McCain, whether it's Obama, needs to, I think, really, really focus on is look at the base value of the country. And again, I focus on this attitude toward its people, attitude toward death. I think that's a very good lens. And understand that Russia has very different interests from the West. It's pursuing its own interests, and it's doing it on the back of this energy. It has the world's second greatest supply of both natural gas and oil. It produces the second greatest volume of oil to the Saudis, and it's becoming extremely wealthy from that. And on the back of that, it is pursuing its self-interest right now in Europe. It's slowly expanding. And what the next president, again, needs to understand is that when it's negotiating with Russia, that this is not a child. It's a smart and shrewd and strong country and pursuing its own interests, as I said. And the U.S. needs to be very sure about what its interests are and seek those in these negotiations. There's been some discussion about whether Medvedev, the new president, is going to be someone who the United States can deal with more easily than Putin has been. And I think that's just not the case. There's a reason that Putin installed Medvedev as his successor, and the United States should assume that, and the next president should assume that the same policies that it has seen, that it's objected to over the last 8 years, will continue for the next four.
We are witnessing the emergence of a strong new Russia. Is this something we should necessarily be afraid of, or could they become our ally again?
If I can divide it into two pieces, one is it's something that certain people need to be afraid of. The enemies of the Russian state need to be afraid, and the proof of that is the death of Litvinenko in London. But it's something for the West, for the United States. It's something that we need to be very aware of. We need to respect its power and its skill. And again, know that it's not the Russia of the 1990s. It's not a pushover. We're going to have very tough negotiations. We're going to have very different opinions on how foreign questions ought to be decided in Iran, in North Korea, and in the Middle East, places that we care about. And we need to stick to our guns. We need to be very tough. There's a stereotype about Russia that it only understands toughness. In this case, the stereotype, I think, is accurate.
Steve Levine, thank you for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me on today, Michael. I really enjoyed it.
Savage. I'm gonna
them apart. I'm going to make sure that the rest of their life is ruined. That when they're 8 years old, they throw up. When they're 12 years old, they won't sleep. When they're 19 years old, they'll have nightmares and they'll never have a relationship with anybody. And that's not because I'm a nice guy.
Again, that's a defense attorney named James Fagan, Democrat from Massachusetts, who says what he's going to do to little girls or boys on the stand when defending those accused of child rape. He argues that there should be no death penalty, no mandatory sentence imposed upon child rape, because he said if you do that, it would force him to attack the little girl in order to defend his client. Now, I've heard of convoluted reasoning, and this, of course, takes the cake. Everybody knows what an eye for an eye is, and everybody knows that a child rapist is a unique type of criminal. And I don't think that there are many cultures on earth that let child rapists, real child rapists, not falsely accused. We're not talking about the Durham dirtbag, who herself should be put away for 20 years. You know, if I had the power, which I don't have, I told you what I would do with child rapists, real ones. But I also would say that anyone who accuses a man of rape falsely, date rape, and is found to be a liar, they get the same punishment that would have fallen upon the man. That would put an end to it, the false claims. But when you have a little girl whose body is broken up, where a surgeon has to repair her if she lives at all, we're not talking about the fake cases here. That's the case from Louisiana that the idiots, the liberal idiots, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, great jurist. I was told by a private source that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was the most arch psychopathic leftist in the Supreme Court's history, has an entire floor of her own, that the public never sees in the U.S. Supreme Court, filled with her own artwork. It's right out of the Soviet Union. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and this is the kind of ruling that we get from out-of-touch liberals. These are the type of people who are running us into the ground. First, they said sodomy is not illegal. That opened up the door to homosexual marriage. A month ago, they said that terrorists at Guantanamo should have the same rights as a U.S. citizen that the terrorists were trying to kill. That will open us up to another 9/11. Now they shocked us again by saying that a child rapist who was found guilty after many appeals and was on death row in Louisiana is not going to be executed because it would violate his constitutional rights. You know, it's been a long day's journey into night for me. I'm very tired. At a certain point, words don't work. When it comes to children, I have a unique view of the world. They need total protection from society and by society. And when they're violated, the person who violates them should be executed in this manner. And to hear this convoluted double talk from idiots like Kennedy at the Supreme Court is enough to not break your heart, because believe me, my heart's not broken. No, I mean, I have what this man said. You won't believe what this man said. You won't believe how out of touch these Supreme Court liberals are. You just can't believe it. Or can you? Haven't you liberals had enough? Aren't any of you parents? Or are all of you sexual deviants and don't even have children? Are there any liberals who are not sexual deviants who understand what we're talking about here on the other side of the aisle? Do you have any idea what we're angry about today? Don't you liberals come to understand that there are consequences to your liberalism, and that your child could be next, and that if you, God forbid, should find that little girl of yours like a broken, bleeding rag doll, you wouldn't want the rapist to be executed? You'd want to sit and argue with Souter and Kennedy and Ginsburg that the poor rapist deserves constitutional protections, and that he should enjoy sitting in jail for the rest of his life, and then send letters threatening the child's parents or tormenting them or taunting them, as in the movie Cape Fear? Don't you liberals have any idea what you've done to yourselves? Don't you ultimately understand that you've damaged yourself and your own family with your absurd views of life? D.C., Renee, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I want to know how many of these kumbaya-singing idiots have had their children raped. I was 11 and a half years old, and my night ended like this. A knife to my throat, a 42-year-old black man raped me, and I did everything right. I went to court. The defense attorney, this Johnny Cochran guy, goes on to be mayor, wins the case, So I do what any screwed-up individual does, goes into entertainment. I become a film producer. I think, okay, I couldn't get justice that way, so I'm going to try to get artistic justice. So I have a screenplay ready. My financiers and distributors are in place. They want me to change it because it might be offensive. It's not PC enough.
Oh, you wrote an actual film script about being raped by the man. I see.
Yes. And I couldn't even do that artistically. Now.
Oh, no. Well, no. Certain art is not permissible. Putting a cross in a jar of urine. Now, that's the kind of thing the boys from NYU like.
Absolutely.
A cross in a jar of urine is something that the Obama supporters in L.A. would leap at with money.
But don't give them truth. Don't give them truth.
Well, that's truth to them. A crucifix and elephant dung. That's something that the fellas from L.A. like. You can get any backing you want from the boys from L.A. for a crucifix in an elephant's rectum.
Now they want me to work to pay for the idiots that do this kind of crap to people to stay in jail.
I hear you. Well, so your life, in other words, is now one of rage, constant rage. Well, Renee, you have only one of a few outlets open to you. One is talk radio. You can consider going into talk radio, although the business right now is somewhat less than it was 10 years ago. I wouldn't recommend you look for a job. But you could call talk shows, Renee. That's about all that's left. But if Nancy Pelosi gets through with us, even that will be closed down because she doesn't want impolite speech, Nancy.
Oh, God forbid. Oh, jeez.
Well, you know what, Renee? Keep on raging against society. It's the only thing you've got left, and it's still legal. Do you know it's still legal to be angry? You know it's not illegal to be angry except in Marin County?
Well, exactly.
In Marin County, California, you're allowed to be angry only at conservatives and at global warming and people who have better cars and homes than you have.
Stay in your hands.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, I'm going to do a YouTube videotape for you people. You're not going to believe what I'm going to find. I went to the museum over the weekend, and I parked my car, which happens to be a new car, and it's an expensive car, out in the street near the museum. It was up on a bluff near a hill. And then I sat on a park bench. I just happened to sit there. I was resting under a tree. And then, so no one knew it was my car. If I had a video camera. If you would see the faces of the libs as they went by and looked at this car and what they – you can't believe the faces on these people. It was the naked face of greed, envy, hatred. They wanted to destroy the car. They looked at it. They did double takes. And you saw there was violence crossed their mind for a second, but they were all polite libs in San Francisco, older gray-haired folk. You know the type that never get angry, publicly, that is. If you could have seen the faces of these people when they encountered a car that was beyond their pay station. You'll understand what I mean by liberalism. Anyway, that's a little side note. It's been very, very sad talking about this. Child rapists should be mutilated publicly on pay-per-view. Have a nice day.
Savage.